In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Last time we were studying the fourth chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, and we were studying the parable of the sower. And today we'll start with the explanation of this parable as given by our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 13, he has said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" You know, by understanding this kind of parable, we will understand whatever teaching given by the Lord. Because this parable is the one who focuses on how to understand the Word of God, how to receive the message. So if my heart is full of thorns, or my ground is stony, or I'm just like a wayside, I can never accept the message given by the Lord, so I can never obey or follow the teaching given by Him. So that's why He said, "How then will you understand all the parables?" So to understand other teaching, we should first be the good ground accepting the Word of God. The sowers sowed the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. This is the first type. As we said before, that many of the people listening to the word of God in whatever meeting or in the liturgy, they do not focus. They do not listen carefully. They just forget what was said by the Lord. They do not care much to follow the teaching. So as if Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Some people, when they listen to the word of God, they got happy. They feel pleased by the word of God, and they think that they can do it easily. But you know, after some time, because they do not have this kind of rooting inside, they just forget what was given by the Lord, or being busy in the world, they do not go back to this world. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So the word of God will stuck with the tribulations or persecutions, and they cannot go forward to complete the obedience for the word of God. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The third type of grounds is the one who is full of thorns, and these thorns are, you know, like three types given by the Lord here: the cares of this world, cares of the world. The second is the deceitfulness of riches, because being rich, you know, will push you into many bad ways, many deceitful styles of life. The last type of thorns is the desires, the earthly desires or the desires of the body. So those three types of thorns will choke the word of God, so it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So, you know, by saying this parable, the Lord was saying that 1/4 of the multitude listening to His word will be only the good ground. and 3/4 of those who listen to the word of God, they will not continue the obedience for the word of God. So we should take care to be from this good ground party, at least to give some 30-fold fruits, or better, to give some 60 or 100. Also, you know, by bearing fruits in many numbers means that inside the church, not all the saints on the same level, and for those who obey the word of God are not doing all with the same. Some of them are doing the best, and some others are trying to be good, and the weakest are just trying to follow the word of God, but they were all fruitful. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor had anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." He gave us the first parable of the sower, and he stated that the word of God like the seed of life. And by seeding inside the heart, sometimes you will be fruitful. Also, he gave another example of the word of God being a light. And in order to enjoy this light, you should put the light on a light stand, lest you will not feel this light. As saying here, you know, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? I don't think any of you could see anyone put the lamp under a basket or under a bed. This kind of foolishness is not there. But having a light in your life, you should put it on a stand, which means that you should put the word of God in front of your eyes all the time and fill your heart with the word of God to enjoy obeying the word of God. For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. This means that the word of God you taste will help you to reveal the secret of God, and you know more and more by listening to the word of God. Nor had anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. So by the light of the word of God, you will see secrets. You will know God much better than before. If anyone had ears to hear, let him hear. So it always starts by hearing. When you hear the word of God, you think it thoroughly, and you feel it by your heart. You're trying to do it in your life, and by doing so, you are now walking in the light of the word. Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." You know, while listening to these words, one may think that better not to listen to the word of God to avoid this kind of condemnation. No, this is not the truth given by the word. Whoever has, to him more will be given. When you care to listen more, you will be given more. When you obey the word of God, you will feel progress in your life. But when you do nothing, when you avoid to listen even to the word of God, even the good part of you will be corrupted. Even what he has will be taken away from him. The grace of God, the gifts given by the Lord, will be taken away from you if you do not care to listen or to obey the word of God. Also, you know, he said, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you." This means that when you measure people by your measurement, that you see this man is good and this man is bad, and focus on the bad deeds people do, you will be measured on the same level. So try to defend everybody around. Try not to focus on their bad things. Just focus on the good part of them So also the Lord will measure you on the same way, and He will consider your goodness, not your bad things. Take heed what you hear, with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. And for us who hear the word of God, who know the word of God, we are asked to live a better life and to follow the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ, to follow His teaching. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Again, he simplified the truth of the kingdom of God as being like a seed scattered on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. This is another secret of the word of God. Just by listening and thinking of the word of God will grow inside your heart, will do its part. There is some secret inside the word of God. It's life, it's living. So, you know, even when you sleep at night, it's going on working inside your heart. By saying, it does not know how, himself does not know how, that you can never see how the kingdom of heaven comes into your heart and grows inside your heart. You do not see this. But this happens actually, as exactly as the seed grows inside the ground and you can not see it. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the cycle, because the harvest has come. So this kind of staging in growing up the plant, it's exactly like the progress happened in our spiritual life. We start by listening, thinking, caring, focusing, and trying to obey, and falling down and rising up again, going to the church, reading the Bible again and again, going to our Father of Confession, trying to struggle with ourselves. By doing so, the grace of God fills our heart and helps us to grow secretly. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? Another picture or another likeness of the kingdom of God. It's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. You know, the mustard seed is very little. You can not easily see it by your eyes. But being very little, it grows up as a tree with very large branches, and even the birds who can eat on the seeds, they, you know, get into these large branches of the tree and they nest under its shade. So this means that the growth of the kingdom of heaven is very powerful, and being slowly but surely the growth will happen. This means that the power of the seed in itself, and you just send the seed, send the message, deliver the message of the Lord to the people around, and this powerful word will grow into the hearts of the people to be fruitful. And this seed, after many years, you can see a big tree with very large branches, and even the birds who were on the beginning like enemies of the seed, now they are enjoying the nesting and the shades of this large tree. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear. This means our Lord Jesus Christ were always teaching his teaching in a parable way, to simplify the truth of the kingdom of God, to help the simple people to understand the truth. And also he mentioned before that many of them are not ready to understand or accept the mystery of his kingdom. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. This means that his teaching were on two levels. The level for the simple people were always with parables, and another level for the disciples with explanations, because the disciples were about to teach the people the truth of God afterwards. And this means we should also put our teaching, our Bible teaching, on levels, according to the level of the audience who listen to the word of God. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. You know, although our Lord Jesus Christ were there inside the boat, he let the windstorm happen, and the water came into the boat, and they were like drowning. And at that time, you know, he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. How much strange this, that he was sleeping while the windstorm were shouting around and the waves are very high, and even those disciples were crying out for help, but he was like sleeping. This means that our Lord sometimes is looking like sleeping, but he is always there. And even if we consider him sleeping, he is there watching over us and following everything. He was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" So after some time they went to him and they awoke him, saying, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" Then he aroused and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." So just by reading up and rebuking the wind, saying, "Peace, be still," he shouted at the sea, because he had the authority on the sea, on the waves, on the winds, over everything. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. If you imagine the voices of the disciples crying, and the wind shouting here and there, and the waves crushing the boat, and in a minute everything was calm. After, you can touch the miracle happened, and you can enjoy the same feeling of the disciples who were about to die, and now they could see his power and authority over everything. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" So he considered their being an anxious and the crying out of the disciples like being, having no faith. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You can see here two types of fear. One type of fear from the wind or the waves or the crushing of the boat. But you know, it was replaced by another kind of fear, which is the sacred one, the holy fear, that they feared exceedingly. But they feared the Lord, they feared his power. So we can overcome our fears from the world by our fear from the Lord. We can overcome being anxious from the news around by the good news of the Bible. When we enjoy the good news in the Bible, we can conquer any negative thoughts come to us or any fears fighting us. "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So as you can see, the disciples are growing into their faith to believe him not only as a prophet or a great man, but also the Son of God, the full-powered one. Now we are starting the fifth chapter of St. Mark's Gospel. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. This area, you know, the country of Gadarenes, were full of tombs, and people were not living there because of the dark area, and they were fearing such people who were full of unclean spirits, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. This man was very powerful, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. This man is very powerful, but actually he is seized inside his heart with many demons, and the power of the demons can, you know, break the chains and the shackles, and no one can come nearer to him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. If anyone listened to this, not even with chains, he had often been bound with chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, he might think that this man is happy, because no one can put him into chains. But actually this man was suffering a lot, because living with the demons is, you know, very bad life and miserable one. He spent the whole night and day crying out, running over the mountains and cutting himself with stones. That's exactly what demons do with anybody they dwell inside him. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." So, seeing the Lord coming from the boat on the land, he went running to him and he worshipped him, saying, "You are the Son of God. You are the Son of the Most High. Please don't let me away from this area." As if the demons quite know the Lord, but you know, they do not like him, they do not obey him. And this signifies two types of knowledge. Some type of knowledge is like a scientific knowledge. God is not the one to know just by science or some informations. God is the one who you can enjoy living with him, loving him. So these demons know the Lord much more than us, but they do not love him. They do not obey him. They cannot live with him. That's why they asked him, saying, "Please do not torment me." For he said to him, to the one who are bound into chains with the demons, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." You know, with the power of the Lord, the name may change into a better name, but with the power of the demons, the name may change into a worse name. I mean, this man who lived with the demons, now it's not his name, his real name. His name is Legion, which means that full of demons. So even the name changed, because the full picture changed with the power of devil. He answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. In this area, you know, most of the Jews living there were not worshipping God. They rather, you know, break the rules and break the orders of the commandments of the Lord. That's why they enjoy being there in this country, in this area. That's why they asked him not to leave this area. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirit went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Just to show the real being of these demons, God permitted them to leave the man, the poor one, and to enter these animals, so people around can see the real power of devil. Because, you know, this power could not seen by eyes, but, you know, their impact, their actions can be seen. So they saw these animals are crying out with loud voice, and, you know, they went into the steep, ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned into the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, sighting and clothing and his right mind, and they were afraid. When the people came from away, they saw the man, now he's sitting, he is very good man, he is now wearing good clothes, his looking is far different than before, so they feared the Lord, because they could see the power of change, the power of doing miracles. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from the region. We expected them to ask him to stay and to do many other miracles and to plead their homes and children, but actually they did the reverse. They asked him to leave. They did not like his presence inside their country. They did not like his miracles. They need everybody to be like this madman. They need the demon power. They do not like the good power of the Lord. So they began to plead with him to depart from the region. They refused his presence and asked him to leave. So even the gifts of the Lord are not accepted by many, but rather rejected by many. Now we can ask ourselves whether we accept or reject his power and his gifts to us and our family. Next time we will see what happened after with the disciples, then the Lord's glory to God. Amen.